When I was getting ready for the sermon this week, I was real excited about the encouragement God gave the Apostle Peter at the end of the communion time as they were speaking. He said, Peter, you're going to really fall down, but after you come back, strengthen your brothers. And I thought, to strengthen God's people, what a great call for Peter to have after he was, you know, even before he was going to mess up, God said, hey, you're going to come back and you will be helping other believers. And so I wanted to share a lot about that. But wouldn't you know, the Lord kept putting before me the idea of him strengthening us in a covenant relationship. So I wanted to talk a lot about that this morning, a little bit about the strengthening brothers and sisters, and more of that for next week. So the title of the sermon is a little bit misnamed, but it's in the Bible, so it can't be too bad. Huh? So that's a good thing. And we're thankful at the first communion time, Jesus said these words. He said, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover meal with you. Now, you can think of all the invitations you got in your life where somebody said, I really, really want to share this time with you. I really want you to be here at this meal, this supper time. And I remember that having an impact in my life, thinking about the Lord wanting to be close to us. It happened to be when I was in the hospital as a teenager, getting my appendix out. That was taken care of, no problem. Back in the old days when, they hardly had electricity and such. You stayed in the hospital for 6 days to get your appendix out. So there I was, recovering and just making the most of it. But every morning, a priest would come into my room and say, would you like to have communion this morning before anything else happened? Okay, he was barely awake. Would you like to have communion this morning about 6 a.m.? And I didn't want to say no. You know, I'm busy or whatever. So I said yes. And every morning, that time of just hearing the words, this is the body of Christ given for you. This is the blood of the new covenant that God would give to you, really made an impact on me thinking about the Lord. I didn't even know the Lord at that time in a personal way. I had not received him. But I was open to what Christ would do for me, either through the communion time or what it pointed to, his death and resurrection. So wouldn't you know it, about 5 months later, after being in that hospital, I did receive Christ. And I think that time of communion every day, 6 mornings, you know, as much as I knew, I didn't know hardly anything. But, okay, I think this is God trying to tell me he's reaching out with the gift of salvation. It made a big difference in my life. And so this morning, you can know this. Jesus eagerly desires to have this meal with you. And you might have gotten a lot of 4th of July invitations. People say, oh, I really hope you come. I want to be with you. You'll not get a more intense invitation than you have this morning from the Lord. He really desires to have this meal with you and to be close to you. You won't get a better invitation anywhere. And so to hear his voice speak to you as he spoke to those first disciples, you'd be very humbled and blessed to say yes to the Lord. And so I want to give a little background on the Holy Communion time. This was a Passover meal between Jesus and his disciples. That was the number one Jewish meal for people in their history. They were doing that for about 1,300 years, give or take 100, depending on what Bible scholar you look up. You think of our own birthday as a nation. 238 4th of July's, 238 fireworks times, very special, we're very thankful. 1,300 meal times. Look what God did for his people. Look how God worked through Moses and others. And so it was a very big deal. Look at what we do this morning. Not just 1,300 meals, 2,000 years. 2,000 years almost of saying, this is Jesus body given. This is Jesus' blood given for the forgiveness of sins. Big, big history that the Lord would pass on to us. Something pointing to what He did at the cross, of course. But at the Passover meal, the Jewish people remembered that God passed over the Jewish households as He brought judgment on the Egyptians. They were sinful, rebellious, and persecuted God's people. And God's people were protected from death and judgment. That message of that meal. And so the blood of the lamb for the Jewish people was applied to the top of the door and the sides of the door. When I was a little Catholic boy again, I remember saying, and the teacher teaching us, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and they even made the connection, and the blood applied to the top of your life and the sides of your life and to make an impact on your soul. And I thought, I don't know what you're talking about, but later I would. Okay, later I would. And so the Lord points to the cross through the Passover. And at this Last Supper, Jesus says, "This is my body given for you. I'll give my life. My blood will be more powerful than the blood of the Lamb for the Israelites. I saved them from Egypt, but I'll save you from sin and death. And that sin and death won't rule your life anymore. Just like the Egyptians won't rule your life anymore the Jewish people were stuck in Egypt. So God offers salvation through the Lord's table. And He says, this is a new covenant I give you. And we'll think about God's covenant relationship with us, Him strengthening us at this time. Every covenant that we have is a union or a coming together. In the old days, we used to do covenants even with your buddies. Maybe you'd say something, okay, I'll give you that $10 for that baseball mitt. Let's shake on it. If you shook hands on it, that was a covenant. You would say, yeah, I'm definitely going to do this. You can count on me. That was like your word or who you were as a person. You're extending yourself. God's covenant, very much like that, but much more powerful than a handshake. Okay, He says, I'm going to give you my life. Marriage is a covenant, wonderful covenant. And the guy says to the gal, I give my life to you. Gal says to the guy, I give my life to you. And God gives His life to them. And that's a strong covenant. But stronger than a handshake and stronger than marriage is the covenant of God with His people. Stronger. Lasts forever. Okay. And He says, this cup is the new covenant given in my very life, my very blood. And I give my life for you from here into all eternity. And it's heart to heart. It's will to will. It's mind to mind. It's a very emotional time. Hopefully you were a little bit emotional if you got married. You know, you're standing there and you say, I'm committing my whole life here. You know, 70, 80 years till death do us part. Jesus, very emotional. Okay, this is my body, my blood. And for your relationship with the Lord, you could say, I went to church today, and you know what? God married me. God married me. Yeah, He did. He gave His life in covenant to me at His table. And so communion is not just a meal, but a time at Jesus' table, really representing the whole Christian life, that covenant with God. And Christ is in covenant with you. When the Apostle Paul thought of the word covenant, he didn't think of handshakes, he thought of marriage a little bit. But he thought about mostly a phrase, which I don't use much, but it's in the Bible, being in union with Christ, being in Christ, okay, together. And he got so excited about that Apostle Paul, for example, wrote about 100 pages of the New Testament. If you have a full-page Bible, 100 pages, two columns, comes out to about 60 pages. But he wrote so much of the New Testament. And out of those 100 pages, 160 times he uses the phrase, in Christ. In Christ. And if somebody wrote you a 100-page letter, you know, and you keep seeing this phrase, in Christ, and this page here, three of them, in Christ and in union with Him, you'd say, boy, I want to know, what is the significance, and can I be a part of that? And being in covenant, it means being in covenant with God. It's who you are in Christ. I used the illustration way back of God's Word representing Christ. Okay, it's what He has told us from His heart. And if the bulletin represented all of God's people, you and I are to be in union with Christ. We receive Christ. He puts us in connection with Him. So, we have Christ's protection. We have Christ's love. What Jesus went through is counted on our behalf. He gives His life. He rises from the dead. Where are you and me? We've conquered death because of the Lord. The Bible says we're seated at the right hand of God the Father with Christ in the heavenlies. Christ is seated in heaven. Part of who we are, seated in heaven. That's the covenant God has given us. And He did this for you. He set the meal for you. He's the bread of life for you. And His covenant frees us from the need in our lives to gain love, gain respect, gain validation, or gain identity. Because He gives it to us in His Son. Okay, this is a good part of a sermon from Laura and Stephanie. Okay, in union with Christ frees us from seeking validation or respect or love or identity from anybody else because it's given to us as a gift, the gift of Christ. And so we're made in God's image. And we're loved by the King of Kings, the King of the universe. And so we're never going to top that in terms of what we experience throughout this life, which is all a blessing nevertheless. And so rejoice in God's closeness to you. Okay, He's in covenant with you. And since you're forever loved by Jesus, our need to be loved is forever satisfied. That's what Billy Graham's grandson said. He said, if you know you're loved by Jesus, your need to be loved is forever satisfied. And see how you can love others now from a position of gratitude and strength. It's not like, oh, will somebody please love me so my life makes sense. How much of us thought of that at one time? Or just as bad, I got to go love Mary Lou because if I don't love her, then my life is over. Well, that's a dumb way to live. You know, you're loved by God. Mary Lou, she might be for somebody else or for nobody. But for the Lord, He gives Himself. And so that's the blessing God gives in His covenant to us. And that gospel turns us toward God and turns us toward others. That's what happened in God's people there. Using the Apostle Peter as an example of a changed life. After communion, God reminded him of a covenant. Peter was going to still fall away. And Jesus said, Peter, you'll fail, and Satan's going to knock you for a loop. But when you come back, but I've prayed for you, okay, and when you come back, strengthen your brothers. Strengthen your brothers. And that's a part of the call on our lives. Jesus was telling Peter, hey, I'm my brother's keeper. I'm in covenant with my brother. And I'll be in you, Peter, so you could be your brother's keeper too. You could be watching out for them. Peter, I'll be in union with you. So strengthen your brothers. And the Bible tells us, that's a consistent message Jesus gave His followers. This is how people know, for example, who God's disciples are. How do you know who God's disciples are? Because they love one another. Okay? Very important. And so love is front and center in God's economy. And nothing more valuable than that. I saw an example of strengthening your brothers or watching out for one another in the TV movie. Yeah, I probably shouldn't have watched it, but I've watched part of it. Titanic. Okay, Titanic. Couldn't watch it all because who wants to see 45 minutes of a ship sinking? Okay. We know what's going to happen here. And so there it was. But I watched it a little bit anyway. And I noticed the part I watched it on the boat There were villains and there were heroes. There were villains and there were heroes on the boat. And the distinction was obvious. The villains were not strengthening anybody. They were not. They were running around looking out for themselves. Where's the comfort? Is there a comfortable seat on the lifeboat for me? You know, can I get a little bit more something to drink before who knows what's going to happen? Keep doing what I'm doing. Villains basically were out for themselves. They tried to save themselves. The heroes, by contrast, man, they were concerned about others. Who can I get on the lifeboat? You know, what can I do? Oh, you go first. I'm concerned about how you're doing. Remember Jesus told Peter, when you come back, even from when you were at your worst, by the way, you and I, we meet God at the bottom. We don't meet Him on the top. Okay? We meet God at the bottom when we're at the end of ourselves. We don't meet Him at the top when we're at the top of things. But the heroes in the movie, they said, hey, I'm going to go help others. I know we're all going to be in trouble. But it's not what I get, but it's how much I owe. And so you and I as Christians, we could ask ourselves, you know, in light of God's covenant, am I a villain or am I a hero? Just let God speak to you. We honor our folks, Independence Day. Thank God for the heroes of the nation. And Jesus calls us as His children. Don't be a villain. Don't just be in it for yourself. Are you trying to save yourself? Is anybody trying to save themselves this morning? That's a dumb villain thing to do. Worse yet, or just as bad, are you trying to sanctify yourself? Jesus is the sanctifier. He can do this for you. You turn to Him. Or you could be a hero. You could be a hero and say, man, I'm just all about strengthening brothers and sisters. That's what drives me to fellowship. I say, why do I want to go to fellowship for? Because you go to bless somebody else. It's like the Lord told Peter, when you get back, Peter, remember to strengthen your brothers. And you live a life thankful for the life God gave you. Jesus is your life. And in closing, for this week, more examples next week on strengthening the brothers. Heroes are big lovers, right? They're big lovers. And I don't know if you ever considered yourself a big lover, but God put big love in your heart. It says His love has been poured out into your heart by the Holy Spirit. So in God's mind, you're a big lover waiting to happen. And you know what happens to big lovers? They have a very exciting life. They really do. There's always something to do. And there's always somebody to love. They never sit around thinking, you know, this is, you know, well, what do I do now? Hey, you're a big lover, man. You know what to do. Go and strengthen your brothers and sisters. And so we're able to do that because God's covenant love with us, very, very committed, very, very eager. You know, as we come to worship today, don't say, well, I'm kind of tired from my, I am tired, by the way, I'm kind of tired from the picnics of the 4th of July. But to know, hey, well, God is eager to meet with us. He can help us strengthen our brothers and sisters, even if it was, you know, it's not, you know, you think you don't have the ability to do that. You have the ability with the Lord's help. And so know His covenant with you as we pray and meet at His table, and just recount all the ways God has been faithful so you can strengthen others with the blessing God has given. Let's pray together, please. Lord, thank You for historic moments. Our country, 4th of July, big historic moment. Passover, bigger historic moment. 1,300 years worth when Jesus was at that table. Communion time. Bigger historic moment. 2,000 years of saying, thank you, Lord. And the life given. A covenant made. Even greater than the most solid handshake. Closer than the closest marriage. Here's Jesus for us. And we give thanks. And so as your children, might we know, like the apostle a bit, we're going to fall and Jesus is praying for us, that we can, when we are on our feet, to strengthen others. And this will bring blessing to them and healing to our own soul. Bless your dear people, Lord, as we meet at your table. Be with people going through rough times. Deborah DiClaudio, Lord, just a dear worshiper of yours in great pain coming out of the hip replacement. Please encourage Deborah in every way and through your people. We pray for remission for people fighting cancer, for Virginia Wilson and Ed Hammett, Mike Morgan, and give strength to Bob Gray in days coming up. Be with David Guyon. Help his hand and injury to heal up real good from what he faces. Bless him very much. Be with our soldiers serving everywhere, and thank you for their sacrifice. Hear us as we give thanks to you, Jesus, for what you mean to us and for our chance to strengthen our brothers and sisters. Hear our prayers.